Amen, amen, and amen. I'm having a good time, I hope you are, about this series. It's called Our Weakness, His Power. And God wants to manifest His power in your life. All right? And I want to tell you, His power can cause great transformation in your life. Whatever direction, whatever bondage you may be in, whatever situation you may be in, Jesus is the one that sets you free. Jesus sets you free. You say, well, you don't know where I'm at. I guarantee you, we got people in here, in this service, that are trophies of grace that have been where you are or worse. And keep in mind, the Bible says that you're not the only one going through your situation. And, you know, it's as a matter of fact, the Bible calls it common. You may think I'm the only one. I'm telling you, the Lord knows you. He knows how to minister to you. He knows how to set you free if you let Him. So let me go through the theme verses in this series, and you may have memorized by now because this looks like part six. Wow. I've got just another sermon, maybe two to go, but here we go. Let's look at these verses, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. This ought to encourage somebody. It goes like this. For simply consider your own call, brethren or sistern. Not many of you. Not many. Didn't say not any. Because we got some educated people in the building. We got some very talented people in the building. We got some amazing, gifted people in the building. But not many like you. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates, standards. Not many influential and powerful. Not many of high and noble birth. Do you see that? No, for God selected, deliberately chose what in the world is foolish. That gives us the rest of us an opportunity to shout. What in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame? What the world calls weak to put the strong to shame? Look at verse 28. And God also selected, deliberately chose, what in the world is lowborn. Wow. I'm so thankful. And insignificant. And branded. And treated with contempt. Even things that are nothing. That He might depose and bring to nothing the things that are. Is that amazing? Is that beautiful? That's the power of the gospel to transform us. He'll take what's considered nothing into something. Why does He do this? So that no mortal man should have pretense for glorying and boasting in the presence of God. So that no mortal man can say, it was me, it was I, all about big me. No, 1,000 times no. Not you, my friend, it was God. If you let God be God, there's no limit to what He can do in your life. And so that's very, very exciting. Okay, Romans 1:21. I tried to cover this a little bit in our pregame, but here we are, Romans 1:21. Because they knew and recognized Him as God, they did not honor and glorify Him as God. Now, these are four steps away from God. There's so many examples running across my mind. I'm not going to name them. Okay, there's plenty of examples to show that this is true. The Word of God is true. When they knew and recognized Him as God, they did not honor and glorify Him as God or give Him thanks. And so the first wheel is to honor and glorify God. The second one is to give thanks, is to be thankful. This ought to be the heartbeat of a believer, is thanksgiving and giving praise and thanksgiving. And we have testimony service, and we got one coming up in a couple of months at just testimony meeting. And I want to tell you, it's just like popcorn popping up. People got giving thanks for this, giving thanks to God. That's the normal heartbeat. We don't have to wait till Turkey Day to give thanks. Thanksgiving is a way of life. It's our breathing unto the Lord. And so we honor and glorify God. That's one wheel. The next wheel is thanksgiving. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking. All right, I want to say this to you. If you don't practice honoring, glorifying God, if you don't practice thanksgiving, your heart will naturally, I'm saying it again, naturally go toward worldly thinking, vain imaginations. Vain imaginations are empty imaginations. But I want to tell you, they can soon become dark. And so we have to choose what channel we're going to be on. You have a chooser. God gave you a channel changer, and we're to choose to honor and glorify God and give thanks. And when we do that, we can fill our mind up, that screen in our heart, full of the things of God and the ways of God. We're to think on godly things and things that honor the Lord. If they don't honor the Lord, we don't need to park there, because your thoughts have effect on you. And the fourth wheel happens like this. They develop senseless minds and were darkened. And so this is the way. And I want to tell you, these are four steps, four wheels. You can go toward God, north toward God, south away from God. And this is the way people get away from God. Now, if we were continued in Romans 1, people that stay this direction go into perversion. Strongholds develop. Strongholds are prisons. They can be defined as addictions. They can be defined in a number of different ways. But I want to tell you, this is the way, this is what happens when we walk away from God. And so I'm telling you, we can walk toward God by using these same steps, by practicing honoring, glorifying God, giving thanks, filling our imagination room up with the ways of God, the Word of God, the works of God. You see that? And I want to tell you what it does. It develops an enlightened heart. It develops a heart that's sensitive toward God. You recognize Him more. You receive Him more. You respond to Him more. And the three R's produce three P's. And it's just the grace of God being manifested on your life. And I'm going to get to that in just a little bit. Remember the three P's when I bring them up, because they're the manifestation of grace in your life. I can't help it. I've got to say it now. It's the presence of God. You're more aware. He's always with you, but you're more aware. You have a greater consciousness of the presence of God. Anybody want that? That's the manifestation of grace. How about the power of God? Power of God dwells in you, but it's not that it's in you. It's being what it needs to be received. And it needs to be released in your life. And the power of God in your life gives you wow factor in the kingdom of God. And it also causes other people to see that your God's real. So His presence, His power, and His passion. And I want to tell you about the passion of the Lord. It's a manifestation of His grace. You love Him back. With greater measure, you love Him back. You see, there's no restricted measure on God loving you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. In spite of you, in spite of our report card, God loves you. But I want to tell you, when you're practicing the three R's, you're practicing these four wheels, there's a greater manifestation of grace. Pastor Tim, you teach and preach that grace is free, and it's all been provided for us at the cross. Yes, that's absolutely true. More grace than you could ever use has been provided by Jesus through the cross. But I'm also here to say that the same one that paid the price for you to receive grace is the same rewarder of your faith that can pour more grace on you. It's like when you use the free gift, He rewards you with more. It's called super abounding grace. The three P's are manifested in your life in greater measure. You understand there's levels of freedom? You understand there's levels of growth? I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more for us to walk in. I want you to look at Romans 11:29. Romans 11:29 is beautiful. It says this. I got them a little out of order for you, didn't I? You're so proud of me. For God's gifts and His cause are irrevocable. Let's all say irrevocable. Wow, look at this. He never withdraws them once they are given. He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace. Anybody here receive grace? And to whom He sends His call. I particularly love to use this verse when I'm ministering to pastors. But I want to tell you, it fits for all of us. Now, I'm just going to make a little parallel here for you to understand. When Jesus paid the price on the cross for you, it was called the finished works. He decreed and declared from the cross, "It is finished." Now, when He said it is finished, it's finished, my friend. You can't add anything else to it. But I want to tell you, He paid for then everything that you would need for everlasting life. And He paid for everything that you would need in abundant life here on earth. Everlasting life does not start when you get to heaven. Everlasting life begins when you receive Christ. And so I'm telling you that everything that He paid for is available for you. And it flows from the cross continually. You don't have to beg Him for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't deserve it. It's by grace Without merit, it's given. Now, so our whole deal is that how do we receive? Because God's giving. And this verse declares that it's irrevocable. Whatever Jesus has done at the cross, his grace, his gifts, his callings are irrevocable. You know what that means? He's not taking them back. He's not saying yay, and then because of your report card saying nay. No, it's yay from the cross. Now, I want to tell you, there's a big difference between whether or not we receive it or not. And so it's our discovery on this journey to learn how that by grace through faith, we receive all that he paid for. We discover what he paid for, and we discover how to apply it to our life. Because it's one thing to see it in the Word and hear somebody preach it and shout amen. It's another thing for you to leave the church and walk it out. I want to tell you, that's what the Holy Spirit's for. The Holy Spirit's more than just to give you a chill bump on your back. He's to give strength and come alongside you and show you how to walk out the ways of God in your life. How to apply the Word of God in your life. That's what he's for. And he's a great teacher, and he will magnify Jesus in your life. And it's beautiful to see how he can personally apply it to your journey and your situation God's way. Wow, how exciting he is. And so let me say it again. Everything that Jesus has provided for in your journey, in your battle, in your sickness, in your disturbance, has already been paid for Jesus. And he's not holding it back. He's not withdrawing it back. It's yes and amen from the cross. That's what the Word says, is that the promises of God are already yes and amen from God. In other words, he's already saying, yay, it's yours. As they would say where I'm from, it's yourn. It's done, done, and it's yourn. We need to learn how to receive it. Are you interested in learning how to receive? Let me give you a little example. Last Sunday after church, we had some saints over. The first lady made her tortilla soup. It's famous. It's so famous. I want it every week. But the saints, she does a crock pot. So we at the Lord's place and we enjoy the saints. We get home, it's ready. And so the saints are there. We had people in there in the house. And I was going to share with them a song from the Irwins, a group that's coming to our church and do a Christmas concert. And I was wanting to share with them a song, and I could not get the system on. You'd think I didn't live there. I do admit, I'm not the TI person at our house. The beautiful blonde is. She was in the kitchen getting stuff ready. I couldn't get the machine on. I mean, I'm there every day, turn it on every day, but sometimes it don't cooperate with me. It don't understand my wisdom. It doesn't read my mind. It's too smart for me. And so I had to lean over, and there's Patrick, our pastor, said the sound booth over here. He's sitting beside me. He's my number two TI person. And so I said, man, get this on. And he took it. He played, it's three channels, three remotes. I don't know why. I just want one thing. And so he playing with it. He looked over at me and smiled, and he said, your receiver wasn't on. I said, thank you. Thank you so much. But see, this is a very, very important point. If your receiver is not tuned in, you're not going to receive. It's coming. I'm telling you, from the kingdom of God, from the cross, your rescue is being broadcast 24-7. There's not a problem with the TV station. Amen? It's being broadcast 24-7. But I'm telling you, if you're not plugged in, it won't work. If you're not turned on, it won't work. If you're not tuned in, it won't work. Your receiver wasn't on. That's good news. So we need to learn how to receive. Now look. It's not just receiving. Because the kingdom of God got more for you than that. Yes, the Lord has come to set you free. But I want to announce something to you, something that God wants. You want to give God something he wants? I want to tell you one day my beautiful blonde, her birthday's coming up. We celebrate all month. And oh boy, it's a great time, okay? It's a great time. But one year, I got her a new handgun.
Yeah, I liked it.
And also got her some flowers. I'm just going to be honest with you. She hung out more with the flowers than she did the handgun. Now, she's a good shot. I'm telling you, she's a good shot. And it probably ain't nothing to turn me on anymore than those manicured hands holding a handgun and her holding a rod and reel. It's just so good. But I'm announcing something to you. In retrospect, the gun was more for me. The flowers. You understand? Now, I want to tell you, let's give God what he wants. I want to tell you what he wants. He wants a walk. He wants a walk. Yes, he loves the shouts. Yes, he loves the amens. Yes, he loves the praise the Lord's. But I want to tell you something. He wants a walk. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to show us how to receive and how to maintain. Hey, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Now, I'm going to make this announcement. These little simple principles. This principle that we're showing you about our weakness, his power, this is one of the ways of God. I'm announcing something to you. It's a normal, I'm going to say it, subnormal Christianity for people to come up and to say, you know, my life is just a yo-yo for the Lord. My life represents the Texas giant roller coaster, in and out and all about. I showed up to preach. This is a church in East Texas that I'd preached in every year for about 3 years. I came back for the fourth year on their summer revival. Some people met me out in the parking lot, and they said, I'm so glad you're here. Now we can get right with God. What? Let me tell you something. It's subnormal Christianity for you to think that you're going to get a touch from God on Sunday, and then you're going to have a low on Monday. And you're going to be like the Texas giant the rest of the week, waiting until you get back to church to get right with God. Get a touch from God. No, 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 no. I'm trying to tell you that these four steps that I showed you, they're wheels that cause you to be a rolling, to cause you to have momentum in the Lord. And I want to tell you something. Hey, this is the way to keep the ways of God, the consciousness of God, fresh in your life. There's a lot of you here that want to flow with God. But you don't have a clue. You think it's just for super saints. There's no such thing. There are people that just receiving more of what they've already been given. And I'm telling you, you've been given. And for the enemy to lie to you and say, well, you didn't get it, that's wrong. Okay? I'm announcing to you. And see, the world don't want to hear this, because one of the themes I wanted to give this series is the power of humility. Well, nobody wants to hear about humility. Come on, teach me how to be a blessing. Teach me how to get a blessing. Teach me how to increase my bank. No, no, I'm telling you, one of the primary ways of God is the position of submission. All right, let's look at John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you. Now, this is kind of like when your mama said, boy, did you hear me? I'm going to say it one more time. No, I'm telling you, when the Lord, everything the Lord said was important, but when he said double emphasis, listen to me, I'm very serious about what I'm saying, I want to tell you, it's a key. Are you ready? I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son, speaking of himself, is able to do nothing of himself. Wait a minute, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God. And you're telling me you don't operate here on your own way, with your own thoughts, your own plans. You don't do your own thing. Is anybody listening? Okay. He is able to do nothing of himself, of his own accord. But he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. And so I want you to see something here. Here's Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I want to tell you, he's in submission. It's the position of submission. I want to tell you, he's operating in this world to give us the ultimate example of how we're to operate in this world. And I want to tell you, as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he was in submission to the Father the whole time he was here. He did not do something unless he saw the Father doing it. He did not say anything that he didn't hear the Father say. Are you with me? And so he was operating under an umbrella of protection and submission because he was following the way of the Father. And I want to tell you, that's how we're supposed to operate. It's the position of submission. You see, our weakness is power. Yes, we have weaknesses and they're obvious, but I want to tell you, they don't limit God. What limits God is our no to God. God is not limited by your weakness. He can step in when you submit your weakness to Him. Now, if you try to use your weakness as a way to say no, a no is a no. And a no can shut down the power of heaven in your life. But I'm here to say you, when you take your weakness and you submit it to God, you surrender it to God, you yield your rights to God. Boy, that's a big one. You yield your rights to God. He's able to take your weakness and manifest His power through it. As a matter of fact, we saw in the theme verses in 1 Corinthians 1, that's the way He loves to do it. He loves to take your weakness and confound the mighty in this world. So, He only does what the Father is doing. So, Brother Tim, oh no, we're supposed to have confidence. It's not self-confidence the way of the world. It's not self-confidence the way the world teaches. We have confidence, but our confidence is in the Lord. There's a big difference there. It's Savior confidence. It's not self-confidence. Holy boldness is what shows up in our life. And the holy boldness is something that comes from God. It's not something that we emotionally work ourselves up or convince ourselves up that I got this. No. It's submission to God that He got this. And holy boldness comes as a result of that. And holy boldness in our life is not, I can do this. I got this. It's not that at all. You know what it is? It's simply being convinced that God can do this. God will do this. Listen now, because this is where a lot of people miss. And God wants to do this. Now that's confidence in God. And that shows up as holy boldness. I referred in a couple sermons ago in this series, and I'm going to come back and touch it once again because it fits again. And it goes like this. I was fellowshipping with a group of saints. I'm not going to name their names. They're precious people, love the Word, love discipleship. I love them. But they had gotten a hold of some truths, and boy, they were real excited about it. And they were saying, I'm strong. I can do anything. I'm righteous. And it became clear to me because I was listening. And you know, we teach that. We believe that you look in the Word of God. You take the Word of God, and it's your mirror. According to the Bible, it's a mirror. And you're to look in the Word of God and see who you are in Christ, to see what God says you look like. And we're supposed to identify with what Jesus says that we look like. And when you begin to believe what He says about you, there's great manifestation that can take place in your life. For example, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. We meditated this week on that verse that you do have peace. But you may say, well, I got a storm. Well, I'm telling you, the peacemaker Himself, the portrayer of peace, dwells in you. And you have peace in you. Now, again, let's learn to discover that we have His peace and how to receive His peace, how to release His peace in our atmosphere. And that's something the Holy Spirit wants to teach us to do. And it's something we're talking about right now. But they were saying, I can do anything, I'm righteous. But listen, it was very, very important for me to share with them that, look, it's important that you put the right truth at the end of that. And it said, I can do all things in Christ. In His strength, I can do all things. In Christ, I am the righteousness of God. In Christ, in and through Him. It's divine connection in Him. Yes, I'm conscious or I'm aware of my weakness, but Christ shows forth His strength in that. And so, listen, you might want to write this down. Humility is consciously depending on and needing Jesus. You stay at the place that, Lord, I need You. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I can't operate. Lord, I can't function. I can't function. I can't do the next 10 minutes without You. But Lord, with You, all things are possible. The Lord shows forth supernatural strength and wisdom in our needing Him. That's a great description of humility, is needing Him. It's the way of the kingdom. It's not the way the world operates. Jesus showed us how the supernatural kingdom can operate on this earth, in this world. And so don't wait till you get to heaven. Let's jump in now. Matthew 11, 29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, anybody that, any animal that got the yoke on them knew, it's serving time. I'm not my own. Okay? I can't decide where I go and what I do. I got the yoke on. It's submission to the master. All right? And this is what Jesus said. Hey, you got the wrong yoke on you. Because you wore out and tore up and disturbed and you're a mess. That's not my yoke. He's saying, that yoke come off, put my yoke on. And when you put my yoke on, when you exalt, glorify, and honor and submit to the Lord, position of submission, there's something beautiful that happens. Look at this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I want to tell you, you get to know him. See, this is the beauty of teaching people how to see God in the Word. Because when they see God in the Word, the same God in the Word is in them. And what he's doing there, he can do here. You see that? Well, I'm telling you, that's exciting. So let's get to learn of him. Let's see Jesus. Let's get to know Jesus better and better, deeper and deeper. Let's get to know his love deeper and deeper level. And this is what he says. See, this is our theme. This is our focus. This is our focus. Okay, you can focus on your battle and miss him. I am gentle. Okay? There's people I share Jesus with. And they say, here's what one told me later. Oh, I'm not. If I come to that church, it'd fall down on me. What is that? What? Well, it wouldn't, you know. No. I want to tell you something. The Lord's here for people. Don't think you have to go take some kind of divine, supernatural shower before you come in. You come in as you are. It's the Lord that does the transforming, the Lord that does the changing, the Lord does the cleaning. Okay, but our part is not to focus on ourselves, where we are or where we're not. Our part is focused on Jesus. I'm gentle. Okay, they're afraid that they come in, the Lord's going to take a 2x4 to them. Going to give them a big old whooping. Well, I want to tell you, all of us need a whooping. But look, that's not it. That's not the Lord's focus. He wants you. He'll take you in whatever position you come. But I want to tell you, when you put your heart toward him and you receive of him, he changes you. Not from the outside in, the way the world teaches. It's not behavior modification, it's transformation from the inside out. He changes you. It's supernatural. So quit trying to figure it all out before you come. Humble in heart. I want to tell you, you don't have to beg him for it. He's already loved you so much, he's already paid for it. What are you talking about? I'm talking about your sin. I'm talking about the bondage. I'm talking about the addictions. I'm talking about the sickness. You know what? Jesus has already paid for it. You know what? Hey, he's easy to approach because he's accepting you before you even get to him. He paid the price for it, for your forgiveness, for your deliverance. He's lowly in heart. He's easy to approach. And look what he says. So you approach him. You will find rest. Anybody interested in rest? I've already prayed over a couple of people this morning before church started to great rest and great peace be upon them because that's the will of God for you. When you pray God's will, you get it. Look at this. When you find rest, you will find rest, relief, and ease. Hey, just soak this in. Relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet. Oh, my. You know what that is? That's shalom peace. You know what blessed quiet for your soul means? It means that the traffic right here stops. The torture here stops. I want to tell you, there's no counselor can do that for you. Jesus can do that for you. Okay, we've got people here that are living proof that would testify this. But this is what he wants for your souls. You say, well, the battle's out here. No, I want to tell you, the battle's in here. Now, you may have battle out here, but it's in here first. And so we're going to teach you about that, okay? The way of Christ is opposite of the way of the world. John 14:10 says this, do not Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? Do you see divine connection here? Look, if you don't see anything, see this. It's divine connection. This is what Jesus is saying. Now remember, he's the model for us. He's showing us how to operate. And this is why we keep telling you, see yourself in Christ. See who you are in Christ. Discover who you are in Christ. Because when you see yourself in Christ, as he is in the world, so are we. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so our receiving is not from our doing, like the old covenant. Our receiving is from our believing. And so I'm telling you, if your living's wrong, I'm telling you, your believing's wrong somewhere. And the first place to go back to is to Jesus right here. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? Do you see divine oneness? What I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority. Have I already said that today? I do not say this on my own authority. This is what Jesus is saying. I don't say it on my own accord. I don't go off and say my own thing. But the Father who lives continually in me, somebody say vine life. Oh yeah, it's vine life. Because Jesus turned around and he taught this later to his disciples and he said this. He said, you got to be connected with me. There's got to be a divine connection. If there's a divine connection, it don't matter what kind of storm's on the outside here. You can receive my peace that I give, not like the world gives. My peace. See, the world's peace is like a conflict. I want to say the peace of Jesus is greater than that. Can cause you to be shalom, peace in the middle of a storm, middle of conflict, the middle of attack. Is anybody listening? Can I get a good amen, church? And so this is what he's talking about. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me? What I'm telling you, it's not my own authority, not my own accord. It's the Father who lives continually in me. Somebody say, Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's oneness. Divine life. And look at this. In me does the works, his works, his own miracles, his own deeds of power. And so I'm telling you, everybody wants a miracle. Well, I'm telling you, you get connected to Jesus. Because Jesus is the miracle worker. And so part of the problem how people miss, and the Bible tells us that we miss, because we ask amiss because of our own desires and fleshly wants. And so it ends up being something like this. We just want the miracle. Oh, God, just set me free here so I can go live my life the way I want to. No, but I want to tell you something. When we're connected to him, then I want to tell you, miracles come. All right? He manifests. I'll tell you what a miracle is. It's a manifestation of his love for you. And you're not disqualified from a miracle because Jesus qualified you by his blood. And so I'm here to tell you, turn your heart toward him today and let Jesus be Jesus. Because I want to tell you, it's his works, it's his miracles, it's his deeds of power. If you look to a man for a miracle, you're going to be disappointed. If you look to yourself, you're going to be disappointed. If you look to the way of the world, you're going to be disappointed. If you look to a man, you're going to be offended. You look to Jesus, you can get free. Jesus is our freedom. And so here we are. There's a divine umbrella of protection. And I'm announcing something to you. Even as the body of Christ, we're more connected than we realize we are. Because we need him. And I want to tell you what it is. And some people don't like me saying this, but it's a two-way fellowship. It's this direction with you and the Lord. There is no escape or excuse. No replacement for intimacy with God. He wants you. And I want to tell you, there's divine connection this way. Relationship this way, fellowship this way, affects this way. I'm telling you, it does. Now, wait a minute, there's more. Fellowship this way. Affects fellowship this way. Oh, come on. Don't give me that look. You got an offense toward brother. You leave a hurt in the heart of your wife, and the Lord says, your prayers are not effective. Come on now. I'm telling you, we are more connected than we'd think. We need him, and we need each other. Every now and then, I get a Lone Ranger come through. Okay. I want to tell you, I'm going to be so nice. I'm so sensitive. But God, you know, look. You're not on a Lone Ranger journey. Because I want to tell you, you need the Lord and we need each other. Okay, I want to tell you what the Lord loves. He loves family. I want to tell you what the Lord loves. He loves team. And I want to tell you, we need each other because iron sharpeneth iron. All right, we need each other. Jesus leaned on Father. Jesus received the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. He received wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that he was a receiver? And he's showing us that we are strong in the Lord, but only in the Lord. Sometimes negative and complaining thoughts show up in my life. Can you imagine? Oh yeah, they do. All right, it was just a few days ago. I'm going to say Friday morning. I was walking through the church, and I got ticked off. Yeah, in the church. Yeah, I got ticked off. Now, I want to tell you, the Lord's delivered me from a lot, but there's still a little part of that flesh there. You know, he's working on me. And I want to tell you, in a Dallas minute, which means a few seconds, I got ticked off. And what the deal was, is that I started receiving some thoughts, see, that aggravated the far out of me. Don't make me explain. You might try to figure out who were the target there. Well, it ended up is, recognition is very, very important. Wait a minute. Is this thought honoring God? Is this drawing my heart toward God? Is this a heavenly imagination in my heart? Or is this a vain imagination to stir up my emotions to draw me away from God? Is anybody hearing this? I'm so glad I'm preaching in an honest place. Because I don't have to explain any further. You know what I had to do? Same thing you have to do. Same thing we all have to do. I had to stop and cry out to God. Lord Jesus. Lord, you're my righteousness. You're my sanctification. I give this person to you. I give this situation to you. It's yours and not mine. Lord, I receive your peace. Lord Jesus, you're my peace. And I just had to bask a little bit in the peace of the Lord. Lord Jesus, you're my purpose. I surrender. I submit to you. It's not my way. It's your way. It's not my timing. It's your timing. And not my people. Your people. Is anybody listening? You see, Lord, you're my strength. In the very spot, pinpoint time of my weakness, you're my strength. Amen. Hey. Cut off from the vine life, there is no fruit. We can do nothing without vine life. Nothing. Now what happens is that flesh wants to jump up and take the place of it. And when flesh raises up, even trying to do something good for God. You see, there's a big difference between flesh trying to do something for God and God trying to do something through you. There's a big difference in that. You want people to see your ministry, you want people to see Jesus' ministry. I'm tired of my ministry. I don't want my ministry. I want Jesus' ministry. How about you? When flesh rises it up, it's messy. It's ugly. It's self-promoting. It ends up being destructive even when people clap. Come on now, humans will clap for anything. Well, sometimes they don't clap for preaching. But I'm talking. Okay, it's destructive. Are you listening? It's destructive. Now, this is very serious, so you got to catch me with this. God resists his own people over pride. 1 Peter 5:5, you're going to see it there in your notes and it's on the screen. Clothe, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility as the garb of a servant. Now, this is what I teach, and it's okay. I've cleaned it up, and the beautiful blonde is okay with this, but it goes something like this. Humility is the first thing you put on every morning, and it's your undergarments. How'd I do? It's your undergarments. You put that on first. Well, what about the armor of God? Well, you better put your undergarments on first of humility. Oh, you'll mess that up too. Oh, come on, can't we? All of you, some of you. No, all of you. So everybody listening, with humility, the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly strip from you, because you need it all the time, 24/7. With freedom. See, humility sets you free from pride and arrogance toward one another. All right, that's where it shows up first. You say, well, it's a pride against God. Yeah, but it shows up with people first. For God sets himself against the proud. Do you see that? And you say, well, Brother Tim, that's talking about the lost people. No, no, no. He's addressing saved people here. He's addressing believers here. God sets himself against the proud, the insolent. How about them rude ones? Ain't no room for rude. The overbearing. Going to control them. I want to control them. Ain't no room for that. Matter of fact, controlling people is used in the scripture. It's called bewitching. It's used of darkness. Somebody control somebody. Sometimes people want to control you with their anger. All right, or their disappointment, or their emotions. They're going to control you, keep you in line, make you do what I want. No, that's wrong. That's pride. That's overbearing. Disdainful, presumptuous, the boastful. And he opposes, get this now, this is out of the Amplified, bringing out the original language. It goes like this. He opposes. He doesn't just frown about it. He opposes. He resists it. He frustrates them. He defeats them. But he gives grace. Wait a minute. Here's the good. He gives grace, favor, and blessing to those who humble themselves. And so which one you want to be? You want to receive super abounding grace, more grace than you can ever use? You walk in humility. You humble yourself before God and man. You want to be resisted, opposed by God? Well, that's what happens when we have pride. But remember, he rewards us with more manifestation of grace when we walk in humility. I want to tell you, you say, Brother Tim, we already have too much. Yeah, but he has a way. Remember the three P's. Presence, his power, and his passion to greater levels. I tried to say this earlier. I'm going to make it real clear now. For us to walk in an atmosphere or an attitude of defeat and negativism, I want to tell you that's subnormal Christian living. Let me tell you what normal Christian living is walking in praise and thanksgiving and walking in the grace of God. I want to tell you, we recognize his presence, his power, and his passion in an ever-growing way. Is that exciting? You see this insight with Samson. Boy, you're going to have to listen real fast. Okay, listen a little faster. You see this insight with Samson. Remember, we've talked about Samson in this series. I'm going to go back there just a little bit, and we'll kind of close up with Samson here. But you see this insight with Samson. It's vital. It's vital you see it because many don't. I'm going to say it real clear because some of you haven't heard the sermon so far. I do not see Samson as some Herculean guy, big body muscle guy. I see him as a skinny boy. He was skinny, and he was a sissy-looking guy, Samson was, and he had long hair, which was a no-no in that culture, but he had a Nazirite vow. But he had extremely 7 locks of long hair. In other words, it was so long, I tried to find out how long, but I couldn't say. But it was so long, I kind of got it pictured him wrapping it around his neck, wrapping it around his waist, and loosely tying it. He could not ever forget or walk a step or two without remembering that his long hair, which was a position of shame in his culture, except for the Nazirite vow, was his strength. His weakness was his strength. Wasn't his muscles. When he did it, a mighty feat of defending Israel, the Bible doesn't say, and he flexed all of his muscles. And with his great size, he defeated. No. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so everybody knew, that's not Samson. He's skinny. He weak looking. He looked like a sissy. He got the long hair, looked like a woman. No. And it wasn't him. No, it was God that came upon him. Remember our theme verses. It's one of the ways of God to show forth strength and weakness. So, if you catch this key to the kingdom, your weakness, his strength, you'll see God work in you and do the supernatural. The devil succeeded through a woman to deceive Samson to trust in his past success. Get this now. No, it's more than a pretty face. She got, with the enemy's help, to deceive Samson to trust in his past success and trust in his own strength. Let me be clear. That's pride. You're not to trust your past success. You're not to trust your own strength. It needs to be the Lord. God uses people. We know that. Well, let me just announce, the enemy uses people too. Oh, yes, he does. As a matter of fact, I'll say this real quick. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, I'm kind of out of time. I'm going to say it real quick. If there's someone in your life that's draining you of life, hey, who's drawing you down, who's a continual disturbance in your life, guess what? They're not from God. We need some recognition here. Okay? Well, the Bible says that corrupt company, bad company will corrupt good manners. You can become like the people you're around. Watch out there. Watch out there. Samson, Delilah woke him up, hollered, "The Philistines are here." You know what he did? I want to tell you. See, you see it in his answer, and I don't have time to turn to it. I'm just going to tell you, so you just listen to this. He said, "Hey, I will shake myself," is what he said. It's not about shaking yourself to strength. Self says, "I can do it." You know what Samson did? He woke up and he said, "I got this." I just hate that. You know, you lose your consciousness of needing God. And for his whole life, there was hair all wrapped around him, and he couldn't touch any hair. He said, "I'll just shake myself." Well, that didn't work. He lost his consciousness of needing God. He lost the awareness of his weakness. There was no long hair to remind him that he needed God. You forgot, Samson. Now, wait a minute. Before you throw a Bible at Samson, let me just say this to you. You know why we get in the pit? Because we forget. Wait a minute now. We forget the goodness of God. We forget, recognize, honor him, esteem him. We forget to walk in thanksgiving and praise. We forget to fill our imagination room up with the things of God. We forget to have a tender heart toward God. Okay, now, I'm going to draw this picture, and I hope you see it, because I've seen it in the lives of so many people over the years. There's an invisible line. Let me say it again, invisible. There's an invisible line. And I want to tell you what subnormal Christians are famous for. I want to cross the line just for a visit. No, I'm not going to be there long. I'm not going to live there. I'm just going to visit there. And so I'm going to go over and play on the dark side just a little bit, a little while. Just see what's going on, you know. Just have a little fun. I'll be back. And that becomes a regular thing that takes place. And they cross the line. They come back. They cross the line. They come back and say, all right. You know, God didn't whoop me, you know. He didn't whoop me. Now, the Bible said, don't you count slackness toward God like man does. God's not like that. I want to tell you why you didn't get a whipping the first time you crossed. It's because of God's mercy. He's wanting you to turn your heart toward him. And so he's sending his word. He's sending a witness. He's convicting you of the Holy Spirit. And you're saying no to him. But this is what I tell people. This is what I've seen. This is what Samson didn't know, is that there's going to come a time, if you continue to cross that invisible line, that gateway to pleasure, that gateway to sin, becomes a jail. It becomes a jail door. The gateway to pleasure becomes a jail door, and the next thing you know, you can't get out. You can't get back. You're in bondage, and you need help. You need deliverance. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not... talking fantasy and kids games here. This happens. Is it too late for you? No. Because I want to tell you, Jesus is your rescue, and he'll set you free. But it ain't going to happen. Listen to me. It ain't going to happen without your cooperation. But with your cooperation, you can get free. That invisible line. Samson was just window shopping. It didn't make any difference. I've done it before. I'll be all right. I can still be the judge. I can still defend the nation. You never know when it'll be your last time. Is anybody? You got me on this? Okay, I got to finish. All right, let me finish. Just a picture to leave with you. Delilah said, "The Philistines are here." And he said, "I got this." No, you don't. Because it was never your strength to start with. It was always the Lord. It was always your humility before the Lord that allowed the Lord to be mighty in and through you. The devil wants you to be prideful of who you are, where you are, and what you've done. I had a situation, wow, I might ought to say this. I don't know if anybody wants to hear it. It's a good story. Okay, thank you for the amens, I'll tell you. There was a person years ago, you don't know him. They were successful in business. And we met for lunch, and they were telling me how successful, what all they accomplished, and the Lord blessed them. And he said, you know, I worked hard for this. I said, yeah, I know, but, you know, it's the Lord's blessing. He said, well, I ain't saying it ain't the Lord's blessing, but I want you to know something, preacher. I worked hard. I poured my life into this. I brought this company up. I did this. And I said, okay, wait. I recognize the Lord used skills and giftings and strengths. But you got to understand that it would have never happened without the Lord's blessing. He said, well, I don't know, think you understand how much I put in. I said, okay, wait, let's do this. Let me pray for you and ask the Lord to take away his favor and his blessing. And let's just see what. He said, wait. No. Let's not go. That's so unnecessary. That's not necessary. Let's go on. All right. Samson was a judge in Israel. And let me tell you something. He protected Israel from the enemies. Now, I know that you look at his weakness, and Samson can be a disappointment to people. I understand that. But I'm also telling you something. He had a 20-year career of success protecting the children of God. And a judge was to do two things. Not only were they to protect the people of God, they were to minister to the people of God. Now, we don't have any information on how he was. We do with some of the other judges, but we don't have any information how he was with people. I'm supposing that he was great with the people. And that he helped the people out with their problems and their troubles. And he was able to solve things with the people. I'm supposing that. We don't see anything other. But I am telling you this, is that we look at the success, 20-year success he had, and we see the disappointment of his weakness, of his sin, of his sexual sins. And we say, how can God even use him? How can God bless him? Well, it goes back to the first verse that we read in this series, that God chooses the weak things to confound the wise. And his giftings and his callings are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind. Sometimes we change our mind about our journey. God doesn't change his mind about you. So, what we see in the life of Samson was a level of success that even though we're amazed at the feats of strength, that the we see a level of success based on the Lord's mercy. I want to tell you what we don't see. You get to have an interview Samson. I bet he agrees with me. It's like this. You see a level of success based on the mercy of the Lord. You don't see all the success he could have had on the level of grace. Now, I know. Look, I probably know better than you do that there are people in our nation, ministers in our nation, that have great anointing on them, are greatly used of God, have big footprints for the kingdom. Some of them are songwriters that just put some of them, and you say, and I want to tell you, you probably don't know, most public don't, that in their private life, they're a mess. They're a mess. And you say, how can God use them? I want to tell you what we're seeing. Listen to me. God's gifts and callings are without repentance, but I'm telling you something else. We're only seeing the level of ministry based on the mercy of God. We are not seeing what all it could have been under the grace of God. Much more. Because he's a much more God. I hope that gives you hope today. Because I got to finish. And so I want you to bow your heads. And I want to talk to you just a moment here. And there's much more grace available for you today. No matter where you've been, what you've done. Great grace is for you. And I want to tell you, great freedom is for you. Because he's your rescue. He paid the price for your forgiveness. He paid the price for your rescue. He paid the price for your restoration. He has great power and strength that He will manifest in your life, in your home, in the power of your weakness. He'll show forth His strength. I see a big danger here. Samson got there, but I want to tell you, you don't have to get there. If you are there, you don't have to stay there. Samson justified his sin. I want to tell you, if you're justifying your sin, that's pride. Okay? I want to tell you what pride is. It's a heart that's resisting God. That's foolishness. That's what the Bible calls a fool. It's one whose heart is away from God, resisting God. And I want to tell you, you don't have to, it's easy to get there. You don't have to stay there. Today, repent. And I want to tell you, repentance means to change your mind, change your direction. Come to God. Turn away from yourself. Turn away from sin. Turn away from the powers of darkness. Turn to God. Now, if I were to stand up here and to say there's no pleasure in sin, I would be a liar. There is pleasure in sin. But I want to tell you, the Bible is real clear. The pleasure of sin is but for a season. But for a season, my friend. And I want to tell you, that pleasure is not worth the jail time. It's not worth bondage. And so I'm praying for you right now today, and I realize there are people here that need more than a general prayer. And you stay today and hang around. We got pastors here to pray over you. Matter of fact, before you leave, I'm going to have you raise your hand, and we're going to have people pray over you and pray with you today. All right? So you just listen. Turn your heart toward God right now. We'll give you some personal ministry later. Those of you watching and listening in, turn your heart toward God right where you are. I want to tell you, He's a very present help in time of trouble. And you just say no to yourself, say yes to Jesus is the best way to say no to self. All right? Don't do it on your own strength. You say yes to Jesus first. Let's surrender right now. Father, we say yes to the position of submission. We yield our rights, our human rights. Because, Lord, You yielded Your rights to come to the cross. We yield our rights coming to You. We give up. We surrender. We submit. We say yes to You. We surrender for You to be the Lord, the boss of our life. Lord Jesus, thank You that Your blood is more powerful than all my sin. Thank You that You shed Your blood for my forgiveness and for my deliverance. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we release the witness of Your Holy Spirit right now in the heart of Your people. Everybody that's turning their heart towards You, I declare in Jesus' name, great grace be upon them. Witness of Your Spirit. I release freedom. I declare freedom and liberty for all those who believe, who turn their heart towards You. We say yes to You, Lord. Thank You that Your promises are yes and amen toward us. And so we just confess the finished works of Jesus right now on all those who are listening. And we declare the witness of Your Spirit that Your love manifests in a mighty way. I pray a baptism of Your love right now to cover the hearts of those who are listening right now. Lord, a baptism of Your love that sets us free from every form of fear and weakness, every form of wickedness. And we declare liberty and freedom. We give You praise, that great grace, great peace. Lord, I speak Your shalom peace on every home, on every heart, on every mind. I declare in the name of Jesus that Your peace mounts garrison around about our mind. And we confess that Jesus is Lord. And we give You praise. And all the saints said, hallelujah and amen. Let's give the Lord a thank you. Let's give God praise.